You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and today I'm going to give you some information about human trafficking. Many times when people hear the phrase human trafficking, their first thought is sexual trafficking. And while that is part of it, I want people to also be aware that there is also labor that is human trafficking. If you see a van or a car, bus, something, pull up, and there are many people, most commonly foreign-speaking compared to the United States, and they will all go in to work together. They don't speak the language. There's one person that does all the communicating for them, things like that, and they are forced to work usually at hotels, sometimes restaurants, and they don't get to keep the money. They are constantly indebted to someone else who says, "You owe me." So while I'm giving information about human trafficking, please know that I'm talking about sexual slavery as well as the labor trafficking. Sometimes the person will be, and this is how to see if somebody is being trafficked. Sometimes the person will be naive. They may not realize that they're being trafficked. They might genuinely think that somebody is trying to help them out. So if you notice them being unusually dependent on another person to help them with communication, with their money, with identification, things like that, be aware. Sometimes they don't speak the language. As I gave an example with the labor trafficking, many times people from other countries are told that they will be given great opportunities if they come to the United States. So they come here with the idea that they can make money, they can become successful, they can get on their feet, get a place of their own, send money back home, and eventually bring their family here where they'll have a better life than what they had wherever home used to be. And while that is true in a lot of cases, it is one of the easiest ways for people to become trafficked. They come here, they don't speak the language, and I'd like to point out, I'm not complaining about people speaking the language or not. What I'm pointing out is because they don't speak the language, they become very dependent on another person who may not be giving them accurate information. They may be lying to them, or they may be flat out manipulating them. Anytime you are completely dependent on another person for all of your interpretations, you run the risk of, at the very least, being made a fool of, but at the most, of being trafficked, of being taken advantage of. And that's true regardless of the language that is native to you when you come to another place. Many times, the traffickers will withhold their passports. They might say, the hotel's not a safe place to leave your identification, so let me have your passport. Let me have any identification that you have, and I will make sure that it's safe. And then next thing you know, the person wants to leave, but they can't because they don't have a passport. They can't prove their identification. Many times their passports will only be for traveling and not for working, which means they're more than welcome to be here and they are legally here, but they are not legally allowed to work while they are here. There are different kind of passports for people who don't know, and you can get a passport that allows you to work and make money, and then there's also a passport that is simply a traveling passport, meaning you just came to see the United States, look around, get an idea of the culture, the environment, things like that. Most often, these people only have a traveling passport. But it is their only form of identification. It's the only way they can even prove who they are. It's the only way they can get back home, because as many people know, whether you fly often or not, without a passport or some kind of proof of who you are, you're not getting on a plane going anywhere. The person that's trafficking them, they may threaten them, or they may simply control them because of that language barrier. And whether they threaten them or they just control them because of the language barrier, both of those are illegal. You cannot control another person, whether you threaten them or not. You cannot control them. You cannot keep them hostage, prevent them from having their identification, withhold money from them, force them go to work and decide when they work, where they stay. I know in some of the massage parlors and things like that, the people that are being trafficked actually sleep in that location. So if you go to get your nails done, or if you go to a massage parlor, if the people that are working with you, if they don't know what the business hours are, that might be a good indication that they sleep there and that there's people in and out all the time, 24 hours, which might also tell you it's probably not legit. Even if you went there for a legitimate reason, got your nails done, got a massage, whatever, it's probably not a legitimate business. And you have to have licensing to do massages, whether it's therapeutic massage, medical massage, or just because it feels good massage. You have to have a license. And it can't be one license covers everybody in the business. Each individual person that touches your skin has to have a massage therapist license. And again, many times people in situations where they're being trafficked, not only do they not have a license to be a masseuse, they didn't even learn it until they got here. And that is most likely because it's not a legitimate business. There may be an occasional massage that seems legit, but what's going on before then, after then, different customers, different hours of the day, may not be legit. So make sure that you look for licensing. Sometimes there's drug use. That's more often when it comes to the sexual trafficking, prostitution. Many times these and it's men as well, so I don't want to give people the implication that it's only young women. It's men as well. But many times they will be told, hey, you know, you're doing drugs. If you call the police, I'm going to turn you in for the drugs you're doing. Because sometimes the traffickers don't do drugs. They're clean and healthy, except for this obvious twisted thinking. But they're clean, you know, they don't do drugs. And that's gives them an advantage to hold over these other people's heads. You know, well, you're doing drugs, I can turn you in. I don't do drugs, nothing's going to happen to me. And again, when you're using drugs, when you're dependent on one person to help you, whether you speak the language or you don't, your buddy's trying to help you out. If they threaten to call the police on you, or you say you're going to call the police because they've basically kidnapped you, many times the fear of being in trouble for the drug use is going to stop people from pursuing help. And I will encourage people, especially if there's drug use involved, please seek help of law enforcement. They are more concerned about stopping the trafficking than they are about whatever drug you've been doing. And it's probably a good idea to get clean. Sometimes you're afraid to call law enforcement. You're afraid to seek help because you have been being prostituted. You have been being used. And many people worry, what are people going to think about me? What's my mom going to say? What are my friends going to think? And a significant amount of embarrassment for the type of life that's been lived, for the events that have been happening. And again, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody gets themselves into things and needs help getting out. And that goes for so many things. please don't stay in a bad situation because you're embarrassed that you're there. It is more important that you get out from under control of someone else, that you get help for any drug addiction you may be experiencing, and that you get back your life and your respect for your body and yourself, and that you are worthy of being respected regardless of what you've been through. And some people might get mad at me, but I'm going to say, if you have been trafficked, if you have dealt with drug abuse, and you find your way clean, you find your way back to health, I almost think you need more respect because you've been to hell and back. And that takes a very strong person. Back to the trafficking aspect. Sometimes people who are being trafficked simply don't have any place to go. They have some food, they have shelter, whether it's, again, sleeping in the back of a massage parlor, nail salon, or if it's, you know, living, a bunch of people living in one hotel room. They find themselves without a lot of options. And, you know, that's again, law enforcement can help you. Salvation Army can help. The best thing to do if you're being trafficked or if you suspect someone of being trafficked is get a hold of law enforcement, or I'll give you the number for human trafficking at the end of the show. You can call that number as well. There is help. There absolutely is. I tell you firsthand, not personal experience, but people that I have dealt with, people that I have been able to connect up with phone numbers and some help. It was way beyond what Stop Feeding the Predators could do, but it was not beyond what we could refer and find help. And we don't just refer you on and then abandon you. If you need help because you're being trafficked, I strongly suggest you call the phone number I'm going to give at the end. If you're hesitant to call that number, you're always welcome to call Stop Feeding the Predators. But if you feel like you have nowhere to go, home is either another country or it doesn't exist anymore. And many times people will have run away, young people, whether boys or girls. And it's been statistically proven that usually within 72 hours of running away, a young person is propositioned to sell themselves, whether by a trafficker or by just the random person looking to take advantage. 72 hours after you run away from home, somebody's already trying to use and abuse you. And the reason that some people run away from home is because the people that they were supposed to trust and the people who were supposed to protect them didn't. A majority of people who are prostituted, who are trafficked for sexual slave labor, a majority of them report that they actually were sexually assaulted prior to running away from home, prior to getting involved with this group or whatever. And that's the saddest thing, because there are people who are supposed to protect you, and they sexually assault you, as I have experienced growing up. And it lowers your worth. It makes you feel like you don't matter. And that's one of the tricks that the traffickers use so well to their advantage. They will even send out, when they're trying to find young women to traffic, they will send out scouts. Sometimes they will just go to the high school and recruit the good-looking jocks, the good-looking guys, the smart guys, the guys that all the girls have a secret crush on, or maybe not so secret crush, and they'll give them a nice car. Just free and clear. Here's a nice car to drive. They'll give them a cell phone. And they'll say, hey, you know, that girl's a sweetheart. We want to meet her. You get her to come meet us, and you can keep the car, and you get the cell phone to use forever, and things like that. And these guys, you know, they don't care. They think, okay, somebody's interested in that girl. I'll let her meet him, whatever. And oftentimes the scouts will say, I love you and I'm here for you. And they might take her side, or his. Again, it could happen with boys as well. But they may take the girl's side and say, you know, your parents don't really trust you. You know, your dad shouldn't have done that to you. Your mom doesn't seem to respect you or listen to you or whatever. And they'll seem to take the girl's side, and they'll show her that they care, and they'll side with her against her parents. They'll tell her how much they love her. They'll tell her how, you know, if you were with me, I'd take care of you. I wouldn't ever let that happen to you. I can't believe this is happening. They might even threaten, you know, I want to beat up your mom. You know, I want to shoot your dad, because it's not right that they're treating you that way. And it may not be a threat that actually gets acted on, but it may be enough of a threat that the girl feels like, hey, he really means it. He really cares about me. He really wants to protect me. And then these people that are recruiting will end up saying, you know, I love you, you know, and the girl will run away with him. And next thing you know, he'll say, you know, money's really getting tight. You know, I can't afford a hotel room. You know, I don't want to ask this of you because I can't stand thinking of anybody else being with you, but it's the only way we're going to be able to afford a hotel room is if you'll go with this guy this one night. He'll give me enough money to cover the hotel room, and we can get some food and gas in the car and be on our way. If you love me, baby, you'll do this for me. You'll do this for us. This isn't just for me. This is for us, so we can be together. That's the kind of stuff they say. And the terrible thing is, because these girls were abused at home, this is the first time anybody's expressed any interest in loving us and caring for us and wanting to care for us. And of course, we find out it's all BS, but it's the first time that we heard it, that we felt it, that we thought it was true. I'm here for you. I don't care about this other guy. It's just a way to make money. It's just a way to make money. It'll only be this one time. I swear, it'll only be this one time. Girls that are listening, any boy that loves you is never, never going to want you to be with another man, especially for money. Not even this one time. So please don't believe them. It can be difficult when you're naive, either because you don't know that these things happen, you're simply unaware of the danger, or because of your age. Life experience has taught you that people are genuinely pretty good, except for, you know, this one family member who's touching you and you don't like it, but you still believe that people are good. So I'm going to give you some signs to watch for. If you think someone is being trafficked, some of these signs should help. And even if you don't know anyone or suspect anyone of being trafficked, please pay attention to these signs, because it may make the difference of saving someone or not. And I will tell you, if you suspect someone is being trafficked, please call this phone number. I'm going to give at the end for human trafficking, because one of two things will happen. Either they'll investigate it and they'll say, no, it's legit. Okay, great. You know, you might feel a little silly, big deal. Or they'll investigate, and not only will they save that one girl that you thought might have been trafficked, but they may save others that you didn't even know about were being trafficked. Signs to watch for. If you see a younger woman with an older man, and I'm not talking about around town, I'm talking about him leading her around, him always speaking for her. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, chivalry. I'm talking about control. A man who constantly speaks for the woman, especially if she's younger, or for the man if it's a younger boy. If there's limited communication because of a language barrier, because of deafness, or because of age or naiveness, if you see someone constantly speaking for the other person, not letting them speak up, that's control. I don't care if you're just in an unhealthy relationship, that's still control. And I encourage you to reach out to the one being controlled and try to strike up a conversation with them to give them some feeling of hope of being heard, ever, of being heard. If someone doesn't have money despite working, so they're working, you see them working, and they don't have any money. They maybe look like they're malnourished. Maybe they look like they're exhausted, very tired. And I'm not talking about everyday moms and dads that are up all night with crying babies and things like that. You'll know. If someone doesn't know, I mentioned this earlier, if someone doesn't know the business hours and they're always working, if they don't know the business hours, either there's clients in 24 hours a day, or sometimes both, the person is sleeping there. So they don't know when it closes, because for them it never closes. If cell phones are the only way to reach the business. Now, for Stop Feeding the Predators, we have a cell phone. That is the only way to reach our business. But we make it clear that it is so that we have the ability to answer calls regardless of whether or not we're in the office. A nail salon, a massage parlor, therapeutic or medical masseuse should not be working exclusively by cell phone. And if they are, you might want to ask to see their licensing. You might want to see a little more information to find out if they're legit. If you think someone's being trafficked and you're talking with them, do their responses seem to be rehearsed? Do they give a response as if they say it this way every time they answer? One of the things that happens is they don't know something, so they are told how to say it. And because of language barrier, or because of, again, being dependent on this other person, they only give that response and nothing else. You know, it is not uncommon for someone who is being trafficked to be questioned by the police and have the person say, "No, I'm not being trafficked," when in fact they are. Does the person seem confused about where they are? Do they not know the town that they're in? Do they not know the street that they're on? Or do they not know where they live compared to where you are? Many times they are driven around from where they live to where they're working, and they're never really educated, informed of the names of these places. Sometimes they will catch bits and pieces, but they're not given thorough information about where they are, where they're going, where they've been. The other thing is, sometimes they'll avoid eye contact. If you think about it, when your self-esteem is at its lowest, you're not necessarily smiling and making eye contact with everyone. If you're at either a massage therapist, nail salon, and I'm using those examples because those are the primary for sex trafficking. Hotel is primary for the labor trafficking. If you're asking questions and the person is avoiding eye contact, trying to get away from you, trying to not talk to you, yes, it could be that they're legitimately busy and they just don't understand, so they're trying to get work done. Or they might be afraid of getting caught talking to you. They might be afraid that somebody's watching them, that they're going to give away some information that they're not supposed to, that they're, you know, friends that they leave behind are going to be harmed because they went with you or said something to you. The other thing to keep in mind, even though avoiding eye contact is one of the signs, there are times when people will make eye contact as a means of trying to get help. And you're going to have to trust your gut on that. If you feel that someone may be being trafficked, whether it's sexual or the labor, if your gut's telling you something's not right, and this person's making eye contact with you in such a way that you feel like they want help, it is okay to leave them there. You can call the human trafficking hotline that I'm going to give you here at the end, or you can call local law enforcement. It is okay to leave them where they are. Make note of what you saw, who you saw, what was happening, why you think this is a trafficking situation, and call local law enforcement and let them know something's not right. I don't know exactly what's going on, but something's not right. There are interpreters for Spanish, for Mandarin, for every language. And if law enforcement comes and they don't understand what's being said, insist that they get someone to come and translate. Don't count on the person who's there who says, "No, I speak fluent Mandarin," to be the one to interpret. Don't allow someone to say, "No, I know sign language. I can tell her everything you told me." Don't allow somebody else to continue owning that conversation, owning that person. Insist that an interpreter come, because a neutral interpreter is the only way to truly help these people that are being trafficked. To report human trafficking 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, call 1-888-373-7888. They do offer English speaking help, and they also offer Spanish, and some other languages are available right then and there. So if you don't want to call law enforcement, call the human trafficking hotline. Start with them. If you believe there's grave danger, call local law enforcement, call 911, and tell them what you're seeing, and tell them that you're genuinely concerned. To report human trafficking 24/7, the number again is 1-888-373-7888. The main thing to keep in mind for someone who's been trafficked, it's not a shame that they were trafficked. It's unfortunate that they were trafficked. Don't let them hang on to the shame that the trafficker used to control them. So many times people say, "Oh gosh, that's a shame that happened to you." No, it's unfortunate that it happened to you. The shame belongs with the person who did it. Be careful with your words when you're talking to someone who has been trafficked. Don't make them bear the burden of shame of what happened to them. Instead of trying to make them feel guilty for being naive enough to get quote-unquote suckered into this, realize just how fortunate you are that you knew enough to reach out and get them help. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and healing starts here.